Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today is Tuesday, November 19th. I almost had it written down wrong. 19th, 2024. And this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We're on page 59, beginning with Step 7. Humbly asked him, ending in step A with amends to them all. We'll be commenting on those two steps. So today, readers are 12 steps, Karen W., 12 traditions, Herbert F., Lynn S. will be reading our text, Ilana P. will be reading page 164, and Danny P. is our backup today. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. So the reference number for yesterday, in case you want to hear that again or share it with somebody, Monday, November the 18th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21921, 21921. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21922, 21922. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, sorry, I got a frog in my throat, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now have Karen W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen from Katy, Texas, recovered for today, compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen W. And next we'll have Herbert F. read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning. I'm Herbert F. from New Mexico, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting the group or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion about outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all fast.
Well, thank you so much, Herbert F. All right, guys, here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We're on page 59. We're beginning there with step 7. It says humbly asked him, ending in step 8. With amends to them all. Comments will be on just those two steps. And Lynn S. from Canada is going to get us started. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, L-E-Y-S. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Excuse me. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. You know, I was really thinking about both these steps this morning, and I'm kind of all jumbled up. But what's really striking me is the difference that it made for me to step when the program stopped being a head thing. A tick off the box exercise. Now I do this, now I do that, and dropped into my heart. And that's the main thing that keeps coming up over and over again as I think about my experience with these two steps. And you know, step 7 is a humbly. We humbly asked him. And it's that humility. It's not me doing it, which it was when it was my head. You know, me trying to remove my shortcomings or think of how I should be. And I was just looking at the Step 7 prayer on page 76. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. You know, it's another surrender, a deeper surrender. To developing a connection with God, a deeper surrender to God as I understand him, and praying that he remove from me every single defect of character. Why? Not so I can be a nicer, kinder person, or not so it'll be better for me, but that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. It's all about developing that relationship with God. It's all about having God remove those things that block me from doing his will, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Again, it's about surrender. It's about having God that relationship with God in our lives, but that so that I can do for God what He wills for me. You know, it's such an amazing program, these 12 steps of ours. And the surrender, the connecting with God, the knowing I can't do it. I can't. I tried my whole life. I am powerless over doing this stuff. But God can, as long as I do the work that removes what blocks me from Him. It's humility. It's surrender. It's that desire to have a connection with God. And then, you know, making the list of people. Some people say that puts so much terror in my heart. And I know you know what? Thank you. I'm going to stop there. I think I've said all I need to say. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Lynn, for getting us started. All right, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. And please keep your share to the steps we read today and keep them to 3 minutes. So who would like to share?
Christina J.
Christina.
Serene S., New Hampshire.
Serene S.
Tammy G.
Tammy G.
Amy H.
Amy H. So I only have Christina, Serene, Tammy, and Amy. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Nicole J.
Nicole J.
Judith S.
All right. Oh, Judith? Good. All right. Well, let's just get started there. The rest of you can get ready to share again. All right, so I have Christina, Serene, Tammy, Amy, Nicole, and Judith. So everybody, please make sure you're muted by pressing star one. Christina J., you are up. Where are you calling from?
Kelly, yeah, North Carolina, Christina J. God, you know, I heard the word wasteland yesterday in a meeting, and I just thought that was so wonderful because he was particularly talking about the wasteland of being in the food, but I have realized that I have been in the wasteland of self. Since I started this program and I realized my character defects, but then I just went back into the world and gagged along. I didn't realize the importance of the 10th step. But this program is so beautiful because it brings us to that place of humbly, as Lynn so eloquently explained, humbly ask Him. Because when I see my crap, boy, do I want to get rid of it. And I humbly ask Him, and I did. I humbly asked Him to remove my shortcomings. But I had no idea what that involved. No idea. And I'm so glad this program isn't just a one and done, as people have shared. We get to keep doing this. And we have the steps that help us to keep doing this. As we move along, we'll find more about those. But if you're new and you're in the beginning and you keep fumbling about, that was me. I came in 2014, and I have just now recently crossed the bridge to the shore, and along crossing that bridge came with me a lot of self that I'm still working on. It's going to take me the rest of my life to get rid of some of this stuff, and eight helps me do that. You know, I made a list of all the people I'd harmed, and I made amends to many of them, but I had three financial amends that have been sort of in the back of my mind for years, and I spoke to a precious friend of mine the other day in program, and we talked about them all. And I'm willing to move forward on those. I haven't known how to move forward. So this isn't just like we figure it all out and we do it all once. This is a journey. And I am so grateful to be humbled today. And my heart just broke open this morning when I found out that my niece, who has been on the streets, is now in recovery. And I just hurt so bad. And I realized what a beautiful thing this is, that recovery is out there for everybody, everybody. And God brings us to it when we're ready. And, you know, maybe I held on to some of those shortcomings because He continued to use them in my life to show me my crap. You know, I was still so miserable for so many years. And what do you want me to do with those? He wants me to give them to Him. But it took me a long time to realize where I was stuck inside myself. So, again, this isn't a one and done. This is a journey. We get rid of what we can in step four, and then we continue on, and we figure it all out as we stay in program. We must not leave. At least I must not leave. I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm so humbled today by all of it. I'm so grateful to all of you who have held space for me all these years. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Serene S., followed by Tammy G. Good morning, Serene.
Good morning. Serene S. from New Hampshire. You know, the first six steps that lead us to this step, you know, are the foundation, and we all know the steps are in order. Or if you're new and we're talking about, you know, humbly, you know, asking God to remove character defects, you know, have all of us, I had no interest in that. I just, I wanted to run the show. I wanted to play God. I was so filled with ego, you know, and I learned the acronym of edging God out. You know, one day at a time for a few decades, I just had the experience of knowing that something wasn't working and seeing how I was self-reliant and looking to see where I was resisting in making an amends to somebody. And I really experienced a lack of freedom. You know, I sat still, God to show me the truth. I became humble, you know, and, you know, my ego, which is going to be there, and edging God out from time to time, you know, has me embrace my humanity. I didn't have any interest in that either. I certainly didn't have any interest in making a list of people that I had harmed and, you know, then taking an action once I had asked God to show me the truth, written it out, and then read it to somebody else and got feedback. But the first six steps, you know, had me get to the point where seven and eight were possible. And then as we've shared, then later I can do that, you know, daily as needed, when these crop up, all of those kinds of things. And very specifically, I had a situation yesterday where I was publicly criticized. And, you know, my whole human person in disease goes, don't you know how much I do? Don't you know that you shouldn't criticize me? You know, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Like, read my mind. And I can see today what I learned from that was such a gift. And if I'm not humble, if I'm not listening, I can't change and grow and be of maximum service and live in the latter steps, which is my option today. And I do see how I was edging God out. Image management, you know, was a big character defect of mine, still is, where my self-seeking behavior is. With a camera, what are you going to see? What are you going to see? So very grateful for your service and, you know, the gifts of these steps. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Serene S. from New Hampshire. Next up, Tammy G., followed by Amy H. Good morning, Tammy. Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. This is Tammy G. from Virginia. And thanks to everyone who provides service to make these vision meetings happen. You know, this whole step 7, 8, and into 9 kind of lives like a legend. I found, oh boy, these, you might, you know, there's kind of like the sense of dread and that goes along when we talk about these, it seems like, or that's how it seemed to me when I came into OA, but my experience was a little different with that. When I sat down to have to write a list and have to confront myself and really delve into who I am, because I think for a lot of my adult life, I've been wondering, well, who exactly am I? Who am I going to be when I grow up? And it was such an exercise in liberation. And what I've seen as a result of that is just amazing, because it provides me this tool for looking at myself analytically and dealing with what I need to deal with. And I cannot, I can't describe how much less time I spend in angst, because I'm not just wandering about thinking constantly of all these things that kept me in irritability, in a state of discontent. Instead of mulling those things over, I'm able to deal with it because I'm recognizing my character defects, because I've done this work for these steps, and I'm able to just carry on and do something else, you know, productive, or something else relaxing, or something else, just whatever it is, much more peaceful than living in angst. And so this work has been so good for me, and I am really grateful for everyone who has shared about it, everyone who has helped guide me through it, and continues to listen to me when I need to talk about it. So have a good day, everyone. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Tammy G. from Virginia. Next up, we have Amy H., followed by Nicole J. Good morning, Amy. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. I appreciate everyone's service and all the shares this morning. Amy H. from Kentucky. This is my first time sharing on the meeting, and I'm so grateful to be able to do that this morning. You know, the steps are the only reason that I have a shot at living a worthwhile life without constantly harming myself and others. And so, you know, I don't know how to humble myself, but I'm so grateful that God and other people, through their shares and through their direction, show me how to do that. And so where I am today is I think I can do that by just taking suggestions, the suggestions of the steps and the sponsor's suggestion, quote unquote, I have to do it, or, you know, I don't have a life. So, you know, and I'm grateful for all of the things that I have heard over the years, because I'm one that has had to hear things many, many times for decades before, you know, I really understand what that means. Okay. Because it takes what it takes. But yeah, I'm so grateful that I was exposed to and to Vision and to other 12-step programs when I was, because it's taken that long, you know. And so, and it is a gift. It is a gift to have exposure to this program and to these steps, and to be able to work it one day at a time. And I'm so very grateful. That's all I have. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Amy H. from Kentucky, and welcome to the lines. Always good to hear new voices. All right, next up we have Nicole J., followed by Judith S.P. Good morning, Nicole. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Nicole J. in Virginia. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Lynn, for getting us started. I am so grateful. I just was thinking how it's funny how blessed I am to have this program, and the price of admission was paying. And I didn't like that. And when I came to program and then came back to program and then came back to program, I was just convinced that my problem was the food, and my problem was all this weight that I just couldn't lose. And I would pray along those lines, you know, help me stop eating. Help me lose this weight. Help me do what the doctor said. Help me do what the trainer said. Those are not bad prayers to pray. But I saw eventually, when I started really working the steps this last time, I was praying in the wrong direction, because my real problem is self. And I cannot humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings if I don't understand that my shortcomings are my problem. And I can't do it if I can't humble myself. But fortunately for me, the disease just had its way with me. And when I came back this time, and I wouldn't even say that's a bottom. I don't know. Hopefully it was. I was so beaten down, not by the food necessarily. Yes, by the food. But by myself, by me. I was just making a mess of relationships left and right. I had leadership positions, and I was just all full of pride and just, you know, taking too much authority over people when I could. And I was able to see this time around when I did step 6 and 7, I saw. And so when it came time to humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings, I was broken in a way I never had been in when I worked the steps before. And I understood, God, if you don't help me, I cannot be helped. There's no way that I can live rightly toward people, and I'm going to have to eat to deal with the shame and the pain and all of that stuff. So asking him to remove the shortcomings, and when I made the list, there was a different perspective on it, and I really related to where it says, driven by 100 forms of fear, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. I had never seen before that I was hurting people, and often they were responding to me because of what I was doing. I never understood that before. I just thought, why is everybody so mean? Why can't people treat me right? I started to look at me, and that was just an amazing turning point, but it was painful to see what I had been doing and not realizing. So I'm so grateful for these steps because they are the way of life that I need on a daily basis to keep me living like God wants me to live and doing what God wants me to do. Thanks for letting me share. Yes.
Well, perfect timing, Nicole J. from Virginia. Next up, we have Judith S.P., then we'll be opening up for more shares. Hey, good morning, Judith. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Judith S.P. from Maryland. As the word of the day, truly grateful. Thank you, God, for my recovery today and for you, Kelly, and Lynn, and everyone else carrying the message to this gal who sure needs to hear God and be with God every moment. Humbly is a word that I didn't really have in my vocabulary, and it has taken me a long time to wrap my heart around what does humbly mean, Judith? And when I get out of my head, as Lynn eloquently shared with us, from my head to my heart, I can feel my humbleness. And I'm able to stand on the shoulders of this great, powerful entity that I call God and experience the first 6 steps to the point where I just know internally, because of the divinity that God has placed in me, that I can share with God through seeking, through asking, through taking the action of praying to God to remove all my shortcomings, all my defects of characters. That's my ideal. Once the food has been down, which thank you God it is, my thoughts and some of my behaviors still need a whole lot of work. And I am so blessed to be able to have the opportunity when thoughts and actions that are not God-centered come up in this gal that I can pause. And these steps help me pause. Step 8 says, made a list. It doesn't say I have to do anything with that list. Just make the list, Judith, the willingness that these steps offer me. There's no pressure. There's suggestion. And I can walk through my harms done to other people. Why? People have harmed me my whole life, according to the violin playing Judith. It has nothing to do with me. It now has everything to do with me. So when I'm able to humbly ask God and make my list, I'm unblocking. That's the gift I get, the unblocking of all this stuff in the way that keeps me away from the inspirational direction of my higher power. And there's nothing better than seeking God, listening quietly to God, and taking the action and or non-action that God is directing me. I've given it up. Step three, trust. Total reliance upon step three. So now I can do my small part and then give the rest over to God. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you for sharing, Judith S.P. from Maryland. All right, guys, let me remind you where we're at. We're in How It Works. We're in page 59, beginning with step seven, humbly ask him, reading through the end of step eight with amends to them all, and we're commenting on just those two steps. Again, I'm going to open up the meeting for sharing, and we value your sharing, but we ask you to limit every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please let others have an opportunity. So who would like to share on those two steps?
Margaret D., Georgia.
H. Israel.
S. Vasa O.
Who was from Israel?
Ruvain H.
Ruvain H. Okay, I only have Margaret, Ruvain, and Vasa.
K.S.
K.S.
Patrick O.
Patrick O. This is your chance, guys. All right. Well, let's get started on this group. Please press star one. Make sure you're muted. We'll get started with Margaret D., followed by Ruvain H. Hey, good morning, Margaret. Where are you calling from?
Well, hey, good morning. Oh, my God. Hard question here. Georgia. I have really enjoyed the shares this morning. They've all been very meaningful. So thank you so much to the people that kind of swallowed that big lump in their throat and pressed star one. Step seven has taken kind of a new twist to it, if you will, for me. I used to think, oh, that was my first problem. But anyway, so I used to think that doing step seven was a matter of getting the TV guide and the remote control, doing the prayers involved in step seven, and then watching TV for, you know, another week and a half and not really doing anything. What I understand now about step seven is completely different. If I'm going to ask for something, just about everything in life, it is not going to be delivered to me. I mean, it may be delivered to me, but there are always things that I have to do. And the big example that pops up is I had a huge, huge problem with gossip at work. And the character defect of being insecure and wanting to fit in, but not having any specific guide on how to do that, you know, without how I thought you did that was you kind of looked at other people, what they like to do, and then you did what they like to do, and then you would fit in. But the gossip was killing my soul. It just really was. And I had to look at the insecurity around it and realize that my real security, first of all, didn't come from those other people, but it came from my higher power. And so, okay, gossip, you're on the way out. And my sponsor was telling me, so, okay, what is your part in this? And I said, well, you know, like when we're at work, you can't really leave your desk and you can't go anywhere. So how are you going to, you know, if I just completely ignore other people, that seems rude. And I just didn't have the first idea how to handle it. And about 2 days later, the regular little gossip group got together, and I just had my nose stuck in. Margaret, what do you think? And I looked up, and the intuitive words came out of my mouth. Oh, my gosh. I would just love to join this conversation, but I promise one of my teachers that I would not gossip for 3 days. So today is Monday. That would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hold that thought until Thursday and come back and ask me. And boy, I'll have all kinds of stuff to, you know, throw in there.
Margaret.
And I'll just close it with this. So I had to take actual steps to not participate in whatever the character defect was. It's not a case of where you just ask and it's whisked away. You have to come up with a plan of action between your higher power and your sponsor or whoever about how to not do the stuff that you don't want to do and how to do the stuff that you do want to do. And with that, I
thank you, Margaret. Yeah, thank you so much. That was Margaret D. from Georgia. Next up, we have Ruvane H., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Ruvane.
Good morning. Thank you, sir. This is Ruvane H. From Israel, gratefully and gracefully from God, abstinent and sober and recovered. You know, when I'm reading this, I got a new insight to it. And it's the contrast between 7 and 8. And this contrast for me has been the essence of my journey in my recovery. And that is my part and God's part. My MO has always been to play God's part and not play any of really taking responsibility for my part. So, and the way I'm reading this is, I humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I remember when I was working with my sponsor and working this step, and it could have been this and or step 6. And it was like, but I haven't removed my shortcomings. I don't think they're gone, or I don't think I'm entirely ready. What my sponsor, I believe, responded something like, isn't that up to God? That's his decision. And that was part of my problem. When it was up to God, letting God take care of what was going to go or not go, I stepped in and said, I want to choose. And when it was my choice, now, which is step 8, which is I make a list of all the persons we have harmed, that I had harmed, that I wanted God to take responsibility for. To me, this balancing between knowing when I let go and let God and God's in charge versus what I need to do, like in the first step. I need to relinquish and surrender the food and feel the agony of that. And at the same time, that doesn't mean to me, although I think there are different ideas about it, that God is not also allowing me to do it. And he's making a decision that, all right, you know, you sound like you really want this now, and I'm going to give it to you. So it's a partnership. So all these steps are about the partnership between me and my higher power. And the humility is being able to say that I am not in charge of this, but God's in charge of this. And knowing when to say, well, I'm in charge of this, you know, in my communication with my higher power and my meditation. You know,
that's time, Ruvane.
Oftentimes I'm joking with my higher power. Ruvane, are you sure you want to handle this and not me? With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ruvane H. That's from Israel. Next up, we have Vasa O, followed by KS. Good morning, Vasa. Where are you calling?
Good morning. Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, everybody, Shia. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. There's no graduation for me from the steps. When I came to the program, I just did the first 3 steps. That's all I cared. I was powerless over the food addiction. I was ready and willing to surrender to God with the food, I was really having a hard time surrendering with my life and my will, because I thought I was doing pretty good in that area. And I was just going to leave the program. And I thank you, God. Thank you, higher power. He put a good sponsor that I needed at that time. And she said to me, if we don't work the rest of the steps, Vasa, the way they laid out, we're going to go back into the food addiction. And I remember going to the first meeting, you know, face to face. And we had the steps hanging up there on the wall, and we had the tools. And, you know, I said, well, I'll just memorize the steps, you know, and which I have a very hard time memorizing stuff. And she said, no, we don't just memorize them. We don't just read them. We live, we work through the steps. And I was, you know, I needed to have an open mind. I didn't want to go back to the food, so I was ready and willing to do whatever, not to go back to the food addiction. That was my main motive. I don't want to go back to the food. And yes, going through the fourth step was very painful. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be there. But okay, you want to go back to the food? No, I'm going to work the steps they were laid out. And I use step one, like I'm powerless over the food addiction, and I'm powerless of people, places, and things. I'm powerless over the 12 steps, but please, God, give me the power, give me the strength to work on them. And step seven, humbly you ask him to remove our shortcomings. Well, some of the character traits, I wanted to keep some of them. I wanted to get rid of, I think the last one, well, I still have scary fatigue effects, but the most powerful was not being faithful for my husband, being faithful to my husband, having emotional affairs and flirting out there. And guess what? And I said, humbly, somebody says I'm muted. That's when step seven came. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcoming, because it caused me a lot of pain and suffering, and I was ready to surrender that to God. And made a list of all persons we had harmed, and I was harming my husband, I was harming myself by doing that. It was crazy. I was driving myself crazy. So, and then going to making amends. Well, number one, I needed to make a list. I didn't have to do nothing yet. My sponsor said,
best time, boss.
Thank you. And I'll let you go. Thanks, I pass.
Well, thanks for sharing, Vasa. Vasa O from Florida. Next up, we have KS followed by Patrick O. Good morning, Kay. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. This is KS from North Carolina. Gratefully recovering one day at a time. This reading is so powerful. These steps are so powerful. And as I'm thinking about this, for me, this really goes back to step one, the progression that begins with step one, with the word powerless. And I'm learning that I'm powerless not only over food, but over life, over my human condition, my unmanageability. And working to step three this past year was very powerful as well, and making a decision to turn, to change directions. And then going through step four, where I had a real experience with my selfishness, being at the root, and you know, Bill talks about on page 62 about selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of our troubles. And later on the page, he also says, you know, we can't do anything to get rid of that, you know, our self-will. He says, you know, we couldn't reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power, that we had to have God's help. And so coming to step six and seven, and looking at that again and realizing that my powerlessness extends to my shortcomings, extends to my selfishness and all of the other things that grow out of that. And so when I'm asking God to remove those, I have to be willing to admit that I don't have the power to do it myself. And I've heard others say that on the line this morning, that this is God's decision. I don't get to choose the timeline. I don't get to choose the result. But what I can do is pray to surrender, pray to be willing to align my will with the will of my higher power, and pray to specifically praying for my higher power to soften my heart, to let go of this wall of self that keeps me from doing what I know my higher power wants me to do, which is to be at peace with my fellows, which is to surrender with humility that I'm not the be-all and the end-all, that I don't get to control my family's behaviors and my coworkers' behaviors, that all I'm responsible for is me and my humble surrender to my higher power, because I can't do this myself. I screw it up every time, and then I want to be back in the food. So I'm so grateful for these steps. I'm grateful that it is a slow progression, even though we work the steps at different speeds. It's a lifetime. This is a lifetime process of drawing closer to the light and to the source of power. And I don't want to be blocked from that power by my stubbornness and my ego and my lack of willingness to surrender. And it's hard because I don't want to let go, because I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I want to.
That's fine, Kate.
And that extends to wanting to eat. If I'm not surrendering, then I'm going to want to go back to the food, and that's the last thing I need. But anyway, thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, KS from North Carolina. Next up, we have Patrick O, and then we'll have time for a share or two after that. So, Patrick, where are you calling from?
Hello, everybody. This is Patrick from Tennessee. I just wanted to get on and say hi for sharing here. But I wanted to share my experience through Vision for You with working through the steps and working through the book. Past, and my experience with the way my sponsor here worked with me, it was really special. And one thing, when we got to this point in the book, she kept reminding me that, Patrick, you're still only on step 2 and 3 right now. Because steps 7 and 8 are actually on page 76 of the book. We got a lot of information from here till then, till I actually try to apply the step in my life. I'm really grateful for that. Now that I sit here and hopefully when I start working with people, I remember that I just keep reminding people to be gentle, and that at this point I am still, I haven't even taken step 3 yet. And I felt, I realized now how important that was for me to keep, and she had to keep saying it to me. She did keep saying it, and now I realize I'm really grateful for that. You know, it was just a reminder that at this point I am still between step 2 and step 3. And it's just an important place to be. So that's all I wanted to really share. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick O. from Tennessee. All right, guys, we have time for another share or two. We're on step 7 and 8, keeping our comments to that. If you haven't shared on last Friday or yesterday on any vision, we'd love to hear from you. We'd like to share.
Miriam K.
Elizabeth B.
Stephanie O.
Herbert M.
All right. Well, here is who I hear. It was kind of a mumble. I heard Elizabeth and then Stephanie. Sorry, guys. So, Elizabeth, what is the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
D, and I'm all right. Calling from the Boston
from
area.
From where? Boston?
The Boston area, yeah.
Okay. All right.
My name's Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area, and I am so grateful for this meeting this morning. I heard exactly what I needed to hear, and it reminded me of something that a sponsor said to me years ago when we were going through the steps, and we got to step 7. She said that if you are to boil it all down to its essence, step 7, the prayer of step 7 is, God, use me. It took me a long time to realize what she meant. But a couple of re- relapses and taking my will back and getting into a whole bunch of scrapes in my relationships, and then getting abstinent again, entirely abstinent, and working the steps again, I have learned what that means. When I get on my knees in the morning and I ask God, and I say the seven-step prayer, I say the seven-step prayer, God, I'm now prepared for you to take all of me, good and bad. Remove from me every single defect of character that separates me from service to you and my fellows. What I heard this morning was, I don't get to choose when my bad defects, or defaults, I prefer to call them defaults, my bad defaults are removed, because sometimes my higher power uses my bad defaults to make something come about in the world that is his will. And I can't tell you, I know that's complicated, it's still complicated to me, but there have been so many times I look back and I realize that some character defect or default was actually used to bring about a change in me and an understanding in me, because it brought me to my knees. This is, for me, about humility. That's what step seven is about. Humbly asking God to remove my shortcomings in his time, not my time, and recognizing that sometimes even my bad defects, things I would really like to have go today, are in service to God's will. And so that's what I humbly ask. Even if, you know, help me to accept where I am right now and help me to be in partnership with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And I'm grateful for this time to share. Thank you.
Well, so thank you so much, Elizabeth D. from Boston. All right, next up we have Stephanie. Stephanie, what's the initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
Sure, it's Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York. Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie. I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater, and I just needed to come on and share how grateful I am for this meeting. I've only found this meeting very recently since the Region 6 convention, and I've been listening religiously every day and on the podcasts on the weekend, and I just need to say thank you. In listening to everyone shares today about these steps, what really has come up for me, and I'm working on a step four with my sponsor, is that I am my own qualifier. I didn't need to, like, really list, yeah, there were harms done to me, but if I really have to get down to humbly admitting the root of my problems, it's selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, I live in Long Island, New York. It is beautiful. It's been 60 degrees. It's November. And it's gorgeous. And I could still find something that somebody else has that I want and be mad about it. And, you know, today I could be like, Stephanie, you're such a jerk. Or I could say, oh, there you go. So today I am just practicing ultimate gratitude for the life that I have, for the disease that also came with a solution. I mean, who gets one of those? I do. And just gratitude for the people that come on every morning. You know, I think to myself, it's, you know, 7 o'clock in New York. What is it in Arizona? What is it in other places around the world? And so I thank the fellows that have gone before me, and I pray for myself and the ones that come after. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Stephanie O. from New York. So we do have 1 minute if somebody would like to have a 1 minute share. Anybody with a burning desire?
Herbert S.
All right, Herbert, you got it.
Okay, I'm going to do this rapidly. I'm going to. I'm Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater from New Mexico, and I want to share a spiritual experience. At least I think it was a spiritual experience from the other day, and really related to step seven, as I see it. So I was invited by a friend to a sweat lodge prayer ceremony, and it was her birthday, and she was leading this ceremony. So I figured, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. And I had been to these types of prayer ceremonies many, many times, and it's very, very hot inside. So anyway, we go in, I knew what to expect, but before the ceremony, she was starting to tell people to please keep your prayers to a minimum. Don't pray about all these little details, because some of us are really inside, they're hot and cramped and kind of suffering. So she proceeded to go about the ceremony and said prayers for the gasoline in our car. She said a huge prayer for the rake outside that raked the leaves. My character defect come to a rage, and I said, why don't you just shut the blank up? And here I am in a prayer ceremony listening to one of my dear friends say a prayer, and here I am saying, I wish you would shut up. So boy, and then afterwards I said, you know, gosh, Herbert, what are you going to do about this? This is awful. I need to figure this out. How am I going to express myself? This is majorly wrong. And I felt even immoral. And so immediately after the ceremony, she comes up to me and she says, Herbert, do you think the prayers were too long? And so it just solved itself. God said, Herbert, here is the answer. I felt the promise. It was unfolded to me, and it was such a blessing. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Well, thanks for wrapping us up, Herbert F. from New Mexico. All right, guys. Well, thank you to everybody who shared. Wonderful meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. So the share ID for today, if you want to hear it again or share it with somebody, pen and paper ready, 21924. 21924. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Alana P., will you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Alana P., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.